तथे वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12. We're on verse 9 and 10 today.
Oja saho balam pranam.
Oh, you wrote the other verse then. Okay, let me read through this and then we'll do the other verse then.
Oja saho balam pranam amritam mrityo evacha tam agyaya jano hetum atmanam manyate jadam.
So we'll do the word for word. You can repeat the word as I pronounce it and then we'll go do the English.
Oja,
the strength of the senses.
Saha,
the strength of the mind.
Balam,
the strength of the body.
Pranam,
the living condition.
Amritam,
immortality.
Mrityum,
death.
Eva,
indeed.
Cha,
also.
Tam,
him,
the Supreme Lord.
Agyaya,
without knowing.
Janaha,
a foolish person.
Hetum,
the cause.
Atmanam,
the body.
Manyate,
considers.
Jadam,
although
as good as stone. So, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Translation. Our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. So, maybe you can just repeat with me the translation, seeing that we are on the different verse today. Well, there's two verses, so let's repeat together.
Our sensory prowess,
mental power,
bodily strength,
living force,
immortality,
and mortality
are all subject
to the superintendence
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. And then we'll do verse number 10. I have the translation here, so I'll just read through it because it has a purport.
O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it, all of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. So the purport. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5.142.
Ekala Ishwara Krishna Are Sabhavritya Yareya Che Nachaya Setache Kare Nitya.
Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. We are all servants of Krishna. We have no independence. We are dancing according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But out of ignorance and illusion, we think we are independent of the Supreme Will. Therefore, it is said, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavanamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanamascha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashtachade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So before we start, we'd like to ask the blessings of everyone so that we may say something in glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam and for our own purification. We've been having such a wonderful week, and it continues tomorrow as well, with so many festivals going on, so many opportunities to strongly, intensely remember Krishna. We had Nirjal, the Ekadasi Vrat, then we had yesterday Chiradoi festival, and then tomorrow is Snan Yatra Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So we have another opportunity to remember Krishna in his glorious pastimes and the intimate way he himself deals with his devotees. Intimate way. There's no other there are avatars who come. There are avatars who manifest and do pastimes. But Krishna is so unique as Leela Purushottam, demonstrating, showing, wanting to show the world as an invite. This is how I deal with my devotees. Intimacy. Such great intimacy. And it's something we all are hankering for in the deep core of our hearts. We all want that intimate interaction with God. We all want to feel specially loved, specially cared for. In this particular pastime we're going through, Vitrasur is also seeming to show these amazing attributes of a highly evolved, highly conscious bhakti yogi, a devotee at heart, externally different, but at heart a great sense of connection with the transcendental level, the spiritual world.
While we were going through the story, I'm sure it's such an amazing leela. The last time we were saying, it covers such a major part of this Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, in different ways as it goes back and forth with Indra. And what we also hearing about, and what we also seeing in between the lines, is the intervention of a devotee in these personalities' lives. We see both with Vishwasur and with Bali Maharaj and with Prahlad, who were born in unconducive situations to practice bhakti. Actually, totally not proper, not possible because of the birth they took. But we see that due to the invention of a great devotee, Narad, due to that kind of intervention, when a great personality enters the course of your life, it changes the destiny forever. And this is a major theme in today's class that we want to try to share. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, mind, body and senses, in our conditioned state, this makes up the totality of who we are. We don't see anything beyond this. We don't relate to anything beyond this. This is completely what is real to us. It's relative to us in our current state of consciousness. But for one who is a devotee, he's connected in both dimensions, the spiritual world and here. And his strength is coming from a higher level. Therefore, when he's interacting here, he may be looking externally, but his consciousness, his activities are transcendental. And it's a major part of what, because what we're hearing today is actually the dialogue, the philosophy that Vitrasuri starts to speak. He starts now to become a preacher, an asura, speaking philosophy, transcendental philosophy. So he starts to become a preacher. Same thing with Bali Maharaj in the 8th canto. He starts to preach to the same person again, Indra. He starts to speak again. Amazing transcendental philosophy. And it doesn't look normal, because we don't expect that from an asura. We don't expect that from somebody who's not a devotee. So bodily strength, living force, immortality, mortality are all subject to the super independence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we are interacting with our activities in the material world, there's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita that describes the consciousness one should have. Tasmat sarvesu kaleshu mam anusmara yudyacha mai arpita mano buddhir mam eva sasi samsaya. So he's saying, you think of me, Arjuna. This is something you have to do. It's a duty. You have to do this activity. But you're not bound by this. If you do this, change your mind shift. Change your mindset to thinking of me and doing it for me. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Fight for me. Do it for me. Then in that way you can transcend the limitations of this material world. You hear, but you're not bound by the laws that govern one in that way. So Vitrasur here in today's verse is telling Indra that your consciousness is fixed only on temporary things. Mind, body, senses, mortality, immortality. This is your current gamut, the width of your consciousness right now. It's just focused on these things. But here a demon is completely transcended that. Now we need this skill. We need the skill in spiritual life, because the way we interact in this world, it's not going to change for us. We need to change our consciousness according to it. And these things that Vitrasur starts to speak to Indra about, is what we take strength in the material world. But as Vitrasuda is pointing out, these are all limitations. They are all transient. They are temporary. They cannot give you the strength to transcend. They cannot give you the power to move to the higher level. It has to take the connection to Krishna. Yoga. Bhakti yoga. Not ordinary yoga. In that devotional sentiment, one harnesses a strength of power that is far beyond one's capacity right now. You are directly connecting to Krishna. So if he intervenes, and bhakti is a three-way exchange. It's Guru, yourself, and Krishna. And by that intervention, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then one harnesses a special power to transcend the normal laws of nature that binds one here. Krishna has described himself as Krishna is the Upadristan Anumanta of everything. He is not the compeller of everything. We are compelled by laws of nature to act. Krishna doesn't force that. He is the Upadrasta and Anumanta. He is the sanctioner, the one who allows activity to unfold. He doesn't compel us. What does this word compel mean? Compel means you are forced to do it. We are not forced. We have a certain extent of independence. And we want to try to explore that a bit today. How is it that Jiva has a certain level of independence? Because without that, how will we have the choice to become free? Where will the choice to become free come from? So what we're going to discuss this a little bit. So what is this superintendence and what is the reign of their control? We see that Vitrasu's knowledge of Atma-gyan is really full. It's fully matured. And what he's giving insight into is that yes, there are controllers, superintendents. One of death, who is? Yamaraj. Superintendent of air, superintendent of water, different superintendents that control and govern the universal structure and oversee the control of the universe on a cosmic level. And these are the devatas. So when we speak of devatas, how do we understand who they are? I was actually doing some research into this, and I found that we heard this quote many times, right? Prabhupada has said, many times is quoted, that there are how many devatas? 33 crore. But where does this come from? This quote is actually given in the Linga Purana. So I tried to search this out a bit and see what does it actually say. And it gives amazing detail of the hierarchical structure of these different superintendents. We have the primary devatas like Brahma and Shiva. Then we have the secondary devatas like Indra. And then we have also what is called Upadevas. They are slightly less powerful, but nonetheless relevant. They have their purpose to fulfill. But what was interesting is, under the 8.4 million species of life, where would you classify the devatas? What species do they fall into? So here it was described here that they fall into the 400,000 species of life. They are one species. And how is that classified? So that 400,000 is described as human forms, right? So how is a human form classified? It's classified according to dharma. The more dharmic one is, the more highly evolved one's human existence is. And we see they have similar features structurally to us, but of course more refined, more beautiful, more knowledgeable. So dharma sahina pashuman samana. That the lower species of life, the animal species, they have no idea of dharma. But as you evolve in and above that 400,000, we have various categories of people understanding and practicing Dharma. So this gives us an idea of how these superintendents are classified. So in our relation to them, Jai Sri Sri Radhe Shyam Krishna Balaram Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So in our relation to them, how do we relate to them? How are we supposed to relate to them? Well, Prabhupada has taught us, Gita also explains this point, that we respect them, but it is less intelligent to worship them. Why? Because of their result. The result is temporary. Kanka Santa. Kanka Santa Karmanam Siddhim. Krishna says in 4:12 of Gita. Yajante iha devata. That if one wants result of fruitive activities, what should he do? Worship the devatas. But kshipram, it is quick result, which means it's temporary. So Prabhupada showed by his example also, once in Delhi, he had attended a function there. And at this temple, there was many devatas that were there. And Prabhupada actually offered respect to each one, showing that he understood their connection to Krishna as part and parcels of Krishna. And why don't we worship the devatas directly? Because Krishna said, Maam ekam saranam raja. 1866, Krishna said, just worship me alone. So by that instruction, if one defies that, then he worships others, devatas, other kinds of beings. But if one is a Krishna bhakta, he will follow this instruction. Maam ek aham saranam raja. So we don't worship them, but we respect them. So why don't we worship? Because demigod worship is actually independent divinity. It's worshipping independent from Krishna. In the sense that the result is for me. The fruit of result is completely I am centered in that. Whereas bhakti, the result is Krishna centered. And we see this consciousness here with Vitrasura and Indra. What is Indra doing? He's doing everything in his power to fight. But when he's being defeated, who does he take shelter of? He has to be motivated by Vitrasura. He's not praying to the Lord then at that moment to say, please intervene, please help me, please instruct me from the heart, please help. He's not taking a higher level of shelter. He's still depending on his senses, on his mind, on his body. He's using that strength, like we're hearing about in today's verse. But Vitrasur, he's transcended that level. He's connected to Krishna. Therefore, the activity, the pastime that is going on, is not disturbing him. His anxiety is to go back. Come on, Indra, make it quick. I want to go back. So a question comes up, are the demigods then competitors to Krishna? Because as superintendents, we know them as servants, but we do also see them challenging Krishna, Brahma, Indra. So are they competitors to Krishna? Not exactly. They themselves have to work out their karmic reaction. And we see clearly in the beginning of the 10th canto, when the prayers are done, the Garbha Stuti, all these demigods are there. Devatas, Indra, Brahma, they all are there offering these prayers. So they know who Krishna is, but they become illusioned. They become bewildered. So in that moment they forget, and once they reinstated, then they're able to move further. So one of the things that keeps us from understanding and connecting to Krishna in this way is understanding the mechanism of the three modes of material nature. How the three modes are interacting and how it is conditioning us in different ways. But one thing we do forget is that the three modes are offering us choices. And this opportunity to choose is free will. And that's what we're hearing about today. We're hearing the opportunity to be able to make a choice. As much as in our interaction every day, we are in a certain mode. But that mode can change. It does change. We see, like right now, you're listening to me, right? Which requires a certain mode of goodness. But if I start to sing a lullaby song, or even as I'm speaking, some of you are nodding. I don't know if you're agreeing with me or maybe you're just going down, you know. But the mode is changing. And then if I say, Prabhuji, wake him up. And you just give somebody a little wake up, a little what happened, you know. What happened? And then he says, oh, why did you do that? And immediately the mode changes, he becomes upset. So within a few moments, the modes change drastically. Although you are predominantly in the mode of goodness right now to hear me, but in a few moments, the modes can change just like that. So if it can change and one is aware of this change, then how is it, then one can use that opportunity to understand the mechanism and transcend it. Mamsto vibhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. That one, by the practicing of bhakti yoga, one can actually transcend the three modes of material nature. So we see that happening here with Vitrasur. As much as he is under the modes and it is compelling him to act in certain different ways, Indra is disturbed, Vitrasur is not. And it's a vital skill that one can learn. Because as much as these three modes affect us, it's like a multiple choice question. If I had to ask you, what is the capital of India? Is it New York, Paris, or London? What would you say? You would say, well, it's not any of those. Huh? Well, it's the fourth option, none of the above. Huh? None of the above. You get that in a multiple choice question also. So, just like that, we have these three modes as choices. But if we take to the fourth level, transcendental, through Krishna consciousness, so bhakti yoga, one can transcend his current situation. And we're seeing that done here with Vitrasur. Completely showing the tenacity, the amazing insight to travel, to move beyond that which is conditioning him. So by bhakti yoga, we can see that the one is not restricted. He has choice. And that choice is actually what is free will. The opportunity to choose and move beyond what limits us. If we take that choice, there's wonderful things that can come off that. Well, one may think, well, am I so free? Is there such a thing as free will also? Am I free to do as I like? Am I free to act as I like? Because as we're hearing today, Ekala Ishwara Krishna is the supreme independent cause. So he is free. We are free to the degree that we exhibit our free will within confines. But Krishna is unlimitedly free. So by connecting to that, one can connect to a higher level of consciousness. We see there's a nice story that comes to mind. In you know Calcutta, right? You know the bus drivers in Calcutta? They are really on a different level, transcendental level. So there was two devotees. One was a bus driver in Calcutta, and the second one was a Kathakar. He used to give a lot of Bhagavad Shabda and speak a lot on the transcendental qualities and different subject matter related to Bhagavat or philosophy, Vedic philosophy. And at the end of one's life, both of them passed away. And this bus, Kathakar was entering into the gates of Vaikuntha. And as he entered there, who stopped him? Jai and Vijay were standing there. And they said, oh, you cannot enter. Oh, but why not? I did so many katars. I spoke so many shabdas. And I gave big discourses on Vedic Siddhanta and philosophy. Why can't I enter? He said, no, you just sit down here, Betiye, one side. We'll deal with you just now. And as he's sitting there, he sees this bus driver coming in, all dirty and paan coming out this side and, you know, shoveled hair. And Jay and Vijay say, welcome. And this Katakar says, hey, what's going on here? How this person is allowed to go inside and I'm giving big classes and everything and I'm not allowed to? What's going on? And then they said, you know, this person, he's a bus driver. And when he was driving in Calcutta, by his driving activity, he would make everybody chant very seriously. And you, by your activities, you make everybody sleep. So, by your classes and everything, everybody was sleeping. But by this person's driving, they were so like intense. Oh my God, this could be the day today. Aaj aa gaya, today is my day. Where this guy was driving. And by his activity, he was able to enter the spiritual world because he made everybody chant. So the moral of the story is, by connecting on a spiritual level, one can transcend the three modes of nature. And it's a very deep point to consider. Prabhupada says here, not knowing this, foolish people think that the dull material body is to be the cause of their activities. So the cause of one's activities is the dull material body. So this is called karma mimamsa. And this was started, well, one of the proponents of this was a philosopher person named Jaimani. And we see even in Govardhan Leela, Krishna also propounds this philosophy. But here it's atheistic to say, well, oh, my limitations to my activities is just concerned with my body. That I cannot change the destiny of what I'm doing. And that's not so. We know by the activities of one's conscious thought, one can change one's destiny. And that is free will. That is why free will was given. So, in the 10th verse, two verses we're doing, in the 10th one, it translates as, O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, but is dependent fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the personality of Godhead. No one is independent of this. So in activities, Krishna gives us opportunity to become dependent on Him. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in 1858, Mat chitta sarvadurgani mat prasadat tarasyasi atachatvam ahamkaram na sarasyasi vinansyasi. Vinansyati. So he's saying there that when you in difficulty, mat chitta sarva durgani, in all durgani, in all forms of distress, what should one do? Mat prasadat tarasyasi. If you take my shelter, if you take my mercy, my prasad, then you will tarasyasi, glide over. You will glide over the difficulty. But, this is Indra now. That first part was Vitrasur, first two lines. Second two lines. Atachatvam ahamkaram. But by your ahamkar, your false ego, if you don't listen to this instruction, then what will happen by the modes of nature, by the laws of nature? Na sarasyasi vinansyati. You will be vanquished. So this is the difference of what we're seeing here. That verse gives a lot of strength and gives a clear description of the two levels of consciousness here. One of Indra, one of Vitrasu. One, both in difficulty, one taking shelter, the other depending on his strength, his mind and his senses. So this is the lesson we want to take. Krishna is saying this. When the difficulty is coming, take shelter of me. And I'm sure from all of us sitting here today, there must be something in your life right now that is very strong, that is disturbing, that you're trying to find closure to, that you're trying to find answers to, that you're trying to find strength to deal with. This is the verse that's giving that strength. If we had a chance, if we had time, we could have gone through that whole purport. If you are one such person sitting here today, please read this verse. Chapter 18, verse 58. Mat chitta sarva durgani. Just read the strength Prabhupada is giving in that purport. So comforting, so ensuring, so giving so much of care and showing Krishna's direct intervention in times of difficulty. And this is one such time here. So we're also reading about make me dance. Where have we heard this phrase before? Prabhupada, in his Maikata Bhagavad Dharma, on this, when he reached Boston Harbor, he wrote this beautiful poem. And in there he's praying to Krishna. Krishna, just like we're hearing, this wooden doll, this doll or this puppet, this animal made of grass, or this doll, that the puppeteer completely controls it and makes it dance. Same, in the same way, Prabhupada was praying to Krishna in that way. That Krishna, you must have had a reason to bring me here. Otherwise, why would you do this to your devotee? Why would you bring a 70-year-old man all across the ocean, make him have two heart attacks, and come to a place like this where it's completely there's no understanding of Vedic Dharma? And he would pray, how am I going to make them understand Krishna? But if you will empower my words, if you speak through my words, then something they can understand. Otherwise, how will they understand? How will they relate to this philosophy? So in the same way he prayed, please make me dance. So what is the difference then with destiny and free will? Because this is a big topic that comes up regularly from so many different ways. Wherever you're speaking, you'll definitely get somebody asking you this question. What is the difference between destiny and free will? Well, we see that the Jiva and Ishvara both share similar qualities. Maam evamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanartana manashastani indriyani prakatistani karshati. Krishna and the jiva both have same qualities. So if Krishna has free will, the jiva also constitutionally has free will. The difference, nityo nityanam, one is dependent on the other. One is dependent on the other. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam jo vitadadikaman. One is dependent on the other. Similar qualities. One has it in unlimited, the other one is limited. So yes, we have free will. Our free will is limited, but Krishna's is unlimited. So why is it given? So to understand Krishna's nature in that way, Jiva Goswami explains this in the Sandarbhas, that one thing to understand about Krishna very importantly is his achintya feature. Krishna has a feature of being achintya, inconceivable. So in order to conceive of something inconceivable, you can't really. But you can have an idea of it. You can have some realization of it. Beyond that, it's beyond you. That's why Krishna has this feature, and one should respect this about him. That being the Supreme Ishwara, the Supreme Independent Controller, he has this freedom. He is Achintya. He is Swarat. He is completely independent and free. We see in destiny, I was coming once from, I think it was Bombay to Delhi. And in the flight, it was this year in January. And you know, in January, the weather is quite extreme. It's very cold and there's a lot of fog. And if there's fog, it's very difficult for the aeroplanes to land and take off. So when we were coming from Bombay, then the pilot was telling us, oh, very sorry, the flight is going to be a bit delayed due to the weather in Bombay, the weather in Delhi. We're going to have difficulties when we land. And I said, oh, difficulties when we land. And I'm just thinking in my mind now, what does that mean, you know? And the person sitting next to me, I didn't know who he really was, but he also, we were talking and just like communicating, just friendly talk. And then I asked him, what do you do? So, and then he says, no, I'm a nautical engineer, aeronautical engineer. I work on aeroplanes. I said, oh, really? Did you just hear this announcement? And he says, yeah, yeah, it's normal, this kind of year, this kind of weather. And then I took the liberty of asking him, you know, can you tell me how does an aeroplane actually take off? Because it weighs about 70 to 100 tons. How can something so heavy lift off in the air like that? And then he was just speaking, and then I was telling him in the Vedic tradition we have vimanas, and the conversation was going that way. And then he said this point. He says, do you know, when an aeroplane is moving, it is 90% of the time off course. It's off its target. And I said, now you tell me that. When we're sitting in the aeroplane, now you tell me that. He says, yeah, it's 90% of the time it is off the trajectory course because of the atmospheric pressure, different things, turbulence, different things that affect. Then the plane is always adjusting itself, but it has the goal. It is connected from one satellite to another, and it's constantly trying, as it's moving off its course, to reconnect. Constantly moving, reconnect. And I said, wow, what wisdom is coming out here. Because if you see life, life forces us to always readjust ourselves. It never gives us a clear deal. It always gives us what is called a raw deal. It never goes our way as we planned. But it gives us the opportunity to adjust by choice. And that is free will. Free will is the choice to take shelter of Krishna. To take shelter. Mat prasada tarasyasi. That choice to take shelter of Krishna. Because in that choice comes the opportunity for relationship. In that choice comes the opportunity for dependence. And by our constitutional nature, this is who we are. We are dependent on Krishna. By our nature, we are connected to Krishna. Without this free will, we won't be able to explore the opportunity of love. Love cannot exist, otherwise it will be forced. It will be forced. So if we take our free will and trade it in for karma and jnana, and this is what we usually do, even though we are practicing bhakti on a very intense level here in Vrindavan, the opportunity to practice it is very intense. The opportunity, whether we take it or not, that is our prerogative. That is our choice. How are we taking this? How serious are we feeling the necessity for it? Why one would not take shelter? Because he's traded it more for jnana and karma. He's traded his bhakti. Krishna, take my bhakti and give me karma for it. Give me some fruit of result. Give me some this. Give me a house and a color TV by the sea. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Give me these things. I need this. I need that. I want these things. And by jnana, we trade in the knowledge. We trade in the opportunity to experience this ananya bhakti, pure devotion. And this is the defining feature Rupa Goswami gives of bhakti. It's free from these two things. Anya bilasita sunyam. It's free from karma and jnana. So We don't want our activities to come down to that level. We have the opportunity for bhakti here in Vrindavan on a very intense way. Like we were saying, we have so many festivals coming. In South India, in Sri Rangam, they have 325 festivals a year. How many days in a year? 365 days in a year. 325 of that are festivals. So every festival, Madhava Titi, Bhakti Janani. Every festival is an opportunity for bhakti to bloom, to take birth, for devotion to increase. So as the more we connect to festivals, activities in transcendence, the more we're coming to our original nature. The more we're using free will in how it was supposed to be used. Other than that, we hardly have any. And the example Prabhupada gives is two things. Again, the aeroplane, that when you're taking off, Prabhupada describes that the aeroplane on the ground has so many people connected to it. It has the tower, information tower, it has the pilot, it has the ground staff, it has so many things connected to it that can assist it. But once it takes off in the air, then it is completely on its own strength. It is completely independent in that way. So when we're in the aeroplane, what is our free will there? We are destined to go to a particular place. But the free will is that we can move only within the circumference of the plane. We can go to the bathroom. We can stand up and pick up some luggage. We can go up to the front and come back. That is the range of the free will. Not much. But the destiny, the course is set. Just like that, another example Prabhupada gives is that of an animal tied to a string. Every day at prasadam time, I'm sure you, prasadam time just now, 5 minutes. I'm sure you see there at the back, just behind Krishna Hall, there's this beautiful white bull that comes there with the cart from the Goshala. You've seen that? And the Prabhu, the Gwala, removes the bull and he ties it to the side there while he's loading the prasadam. So the freedom of that bull is only as much as the length of the string, of the rope. Beyond that, there's no much freedom beyond that. So within that, he can turn this way, he can turn that way, he can go front, he can come back. But all his freedom is within the bounds of the length of the rope. But when he goes to the Goshala, that same bull then has the freedom of a huge Goshala, the area there. But still, it's only within the freedom, the confines of that Goshala. There's restriction. There's jurisdiction. So Prabhupada writes in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the jurisdiction, in one of the purports, he writes there, the jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness is everywhere. It's everywhere. But our jurisdiction is limited to that of our free will. So as long as the rope is as much free will that we have. So if we realize this and use that opportunity then to say, okay, I'm bound by this body, by the prowess of the senses, like we're hearing today, by the strength of my body, by the strength of my mind, I'm bound within this body. This is the vehicle that I have to interact with this reality. If I realize that I can transcend it by connecting to Krishna, using one's free will in that way gives one that opportunity. And not only that, it gives one an opportunity for another experience, but it breaks the cycle of birth and death. And that point Indra has not understood yet. He's realizing by the philosophy, as we will hear, this is just the first part of the philosophy from Vitrasu we're hearing. But he's realizing more and more that what this person is speaking is not philosophy of this world. He's experiencing, he's connecting to an experience beyond this world. So how is he able to do that? It's by the process of bhakti. Now Krishna himself, will end on this point. Does he himself, does he know his own past, present and future? What about Krishna? Because he seems to be supremely free, supremely independent. But does he himself know his past, present and future? And of course the answer is yes. But how does he exhibit it? Because in Leela, in pastimes, if you're going to do the same pastime every day, it's going to become boring. It's going to become boring to do the same thing every day. Not only for just one day or 2 days, for eternity. It's going to become boring. But why isn't Krishna bored with his activities? Why isn't he bored? So he's not bored because he's not focusing on the knowledge. He is focusing on the doing. His experience is not about the knowledge of the activity. He knows. He constructs. He guides. He advises. I want this pastime today. I want this leela today. I want it in that way. And it's the same activities that go on each time Krishna incarnates. But when we see it as an activity, as knowledge, information, then it has a limitation to us. But if we see the interaction of loving exchange, then in the doing, there's a very different experience. Krishna knows Mother Yashoda is going to do this. Mother Yashoda is going to bind him. But he doesn't have the knowledge covered over by Yoga Maya of what is going to happen in that experience. What is that experience going to bring out? That experience is the doing. And that experience is what free will allows for. It allows for a transcendental experience in a conditioned state for us and in the transcendental state for Krishna and his eternal associates. So if we see Krishna's interaction in this way, otherwise, if we see the Shantidut Leela, we'll end on this point. In the Shantidut Leela, Krishna had failed as God. He had tried to make peace with Duryodhana, but God had failed. Duryodhana didn't give in to what Krishna wanted because of the free will. So if you use your free will like Duryodhana, then you'll get that kind of result. But if you use your free will like Arjuna, yata cha se tata kuru. Krishna, I want to do what you ask me to do. Yata cha se tata kuru. If we use our free will like Arjuna, the result is very different. And that is what is being encouraged in today's verse and through this whole pastime. That this demon, everything is stacked up against him, but he doesn't give up. He doesn't stop, and he doesn't stop remembering his sweet Lord. We see in the examples that come up, what deep connection. He gives three examples. He gives one of a little bird, Ajata Pakshi. Aja means unborn. How is a bird unborn? It's unborn because it only is so-called born when it starts to fly. It's born when it comes out of the egg, but the real birth is when it starts to fly. So, Ajata Pakshi, this bird that is so helpless depending on the mother. So in that example, Vitrasur shows the dependency. Then he takes it a little deeper. The examples are coming up in the few verses that come up. Then he describes the calf and the cow. That now the dependency is coming from the body of the cow. The food is not coming from outside anymore, as the little bird. The food is coming from outside for the little bird. For the calf, the food is coming from the mother's own body. Can you understand the experience there of love? And on the third example, he gives that between the husband and wife, of a husband that's gone away. And when he comes back, the wife is longing for that union again, that relationship again. So different levels of intimacy and dependency. So Krishna consciousness is so dynamic. It gives us that opportunity every moment in life, especially here in Vrindavan. Every moment we will be challenged. Every moment we will have an opportunity to grow. Every moment, devotional service gives one that opportunity to grow. Whether we trade it in for jnana or for karma, that is our prerogative. So let's learn this lesson. It's a very deep point. It's a very powerful point that comes up. And if we're going to reach the higher levels of what Ananya Bhakti, pure devotion, is to give us, then we will have to reach some understanding with these activities and these opportunities that Krishna gives us. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Go Premanande.